I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Fans, welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Westworld After Show. We are talking about the anti-penultimate episode of this season. I can't believe it. The third to last Westworld Season 3, Episode 6, Decoherence. I'm your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me today, the amazing panel, Alice Ford is in the house.
Hey guys, happy to be here. And this episode was so packed with stuff. I can't wait to talk about it.
So much stuff happened this episode. So good. And Nate Miller joining us.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy to break down this episode with all you guys.
We're very happy that you're here. And Carrie Lane, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This episode was definitely intense. And as we were saying, a bit on the heavy side, but I was digging it. And I can't wait to get deeper into this one.
Well, then let's not wait any longer. Let's dive right in. This episode really featured three main storylines: Maeve, William, and of course, Charlotte Hale, the hottest of all of the storylines. But let's dive right in to talk about Maeve. The episode kicks off with a simulation of the Valley Beyond, and it's this whole thing where she's like, this isn't real, but it could be. And she says basically she doesn't need an incentive at this point. She just needs help to stop Dolores. What did you guys kind of think about this, of this opening of her then coming in back to the World War II Nazi simulation and the start of this fight? Was this a good kickoff? Was this one of your favorite cold opens, or how did it stack up to the rest of the season, do you guys think? Alice?
I really liked seeing the Valley Beyond again, just because we haven't seen much of it. I mean, obviously, I knew it wasn't real. I knew it was a simulation, but I always like when we go back to that war world in the opening. So I enjoyed it a lot.
What did you think about this, Carrie Lane?
I thought it was really cool, but I kind of was wondering, like, it was almost, are they delaying, like, stalling for time or wasting time? Because, yes, it's awesome to watch Maeve fight off all these soldiers, but I'm like, don't you have somewhere to be? But then, yeah, now then we see they're kind of more, they have to wait a little bit. It's not like they can instantly get out. But it was nice to see other characters, if only briefly, RIP some people.
Hector, my heart. Oh.
Right?
What did you think, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I mostly agree with Carrie. While it did look cool, and as a fan of Maeve, it was cool to see that stuff. I liked the opening with Serac, but all of the back to Nazi world simulation stuff, like, I feel like I could have done without it. Again, it looked cool. It was cool. I mean, it's cool to see Sizemore again, but like with so much other plot happening at like breakneck speed to get this whole sequence that like really doesn't mean anything, I would have taken that time to maybe expound more upon why now Maeve suddenly can use her powers in the simulation, and why now she can, they took a lot of detail the first time to where she was like using the pad to like access the cameras to like see outside. And this day they're just like, oh yeah, she can see outside without a pad. She can just hack into the other reader and bring Hector's pearl over. There's just a lot of stuff that like I wish that they had just taken that time to explain instead of being like, look, Maeve's gonna go Matrix. Like, all right, cool. All right.
Yeah, I feel you on that, because we have seen, I mean, the fight sequences are always fantastic, but it did seem like it was like, okay, break, now, fight scene. Okay, now we're done with that, back to the bar. And it's like, all right.
Yeah, like, I don't want to skip ahead, but I feel like all of the action sequences in the end with Hale were much better. And that being in the episode, I don't think we needed this, you know, 1v25.
Did you guys catch, though, that the name of the bar... in Westworld, it was the Mariposa Saloon, which is in Spanish, the butterfly bar, basically. And this time it was Taverna de la Farfalle, which is just the French version of the butterfly bar. So it was
But I appreciate the info.
Only because I paused it there and I was like, oh, butterflies, look at them. It's the same simulation. Like, you know how you play a bunch of video games and then you start to realize, like, for some of them, they just kind of copied and pasted the same map and changed a few things. was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So I did like some of those little Easter eggs they tossed in, but it did seem like some things they brought back, like they brought Hector back, like you mentioned, Carrie, just so that we could watch him die. And that was, that to me felt like, okay, well, thanks for that, I guess, like quick stab in the heart. I did like, however, that we've been kind of talking about who is the villain and who is the good guy, quote unquote. And they kind of touched on this in every storyline. Maeve specifically says to Dolores, when they bring back the replica of Dolores, that she's, not as, when Dolores is saying, I'm not a saint, I'm not a villain either, we're survivors. Nate, what did you think of this? Because I specifically thought of you, because you've been kind of talking about the big debate of, is Dolores a good guy or a bad guy? And is Maeve, because she's also sacrificed people. And until this episode, that was never really addressed. So,
I mean, I thought that whole sequence was so cool. From the moment we saw the Chard kind of unit and trying to run through the options, first I'm like, is that Angela? They're going to bring her back? That's interesting. But then the reveal that it's Connell's, aka other Dolores, I thought that was super cool, the idea of them plugging her in and now Maeve and her having this conversation, which we've seen from the teaser. And so this is kind of like, okay, now I'm understanding where this stuff is coming from. The discussion itself I thought was really interesting. The one thing that I really liked is, like you said, Dolores has made a really good point of how many people have died for you, for like the things that you want, and perspective of like, who is good and who is bad. And also this makes it interesting, even though, we get this interest, conflict with Hale and her self-identity and what she wants to do in the same episode, we also get Connell's resolution of like, no, even though I'm not Dolores anymore, I am still Dolores. And so when I die for this, I'm sacrificing myself for this, for the greater good of our kind. And it kind of adds more nobility and power to whatever this plan that she's working on. Also, I think it's really cool. They've just, this episode specifically really feels like you're watching a chess game where like you're seeing pieces being taken off the board and moves happening and people are planning steps ahead. And then you're like, oh no, they planned for that. But then it's like, oh no, they planned for you to plan for that. Like all these contingencies. So them kind of meeting of the minds in this sequence and kind of talking about that, I thought was really cool.
I do like how they had the moment with Maeve and Dolores, how she says the other Dolores, they've had different experiences and so they went on different paths, which was nice to touch upon that, because we do see that with the Charlotte Dolores, of different experiences and different attachments, so they make different decisions. And so that was a nice little intriguing nugget of information.
Yeah, and I like that they also brought up, like, from also what Hale brought up, is the fact that, we are the same but we're different, and as we have these experiences, we grow farther apart. It's almost like the nurture versus nature debate. But I really liked that they both kind of tied that into the same conversation in different places.
Also, too, the way that conversation panned out with her talking about how, within her plan, Dolores would have planned for the rebuild and her going in and destroying Hector's pearl. Like, not only is that rough for us to see Hector get, to borrow a term from Altered Carbon, RD'd, real death. We've seen this kind of Dolores versus Maeve thing kind of build and develop. And I'm glad that they've taken their time, because this too is another building point of like why she's going to be against Dolores. Now it's more than even just a ethical thing. It's a personal thing again of like, you killed my friend. But I just really like that the character of Maeve being stuck with the struggle of being in between going against the person who killed her friend, but also being aligning herself with the person who is killing the rest of all of her kind. That's a really interesting position to be in.
It's not just personal, it's personal. Sorry. Just for you, Nate. You're welcome. But yeah, I thought that was really, to me, one of the best parts of this episode was that conversation and kind of seeing, the idea that we see later echoed in William of all of the different iterations of yourself. like Dolores, because all of these choices, she has a tangible point in time where she said, okay, this is where I'm going to split myself for these different purposes. And then we later see that echoed with William, where he kind of involuntarily splits himself into all of these different versions of himself. So I like that it is really hitting home on the similarities between the hosts and the humans, and tying in the importance of emotion. That being said, though, I did think it was kind of a D-bag move for her to immediately start making out with Hector in front of Lee, when I'm like, he loves you, woman. He died for you. You're just going to, like, immediately start making out with Hector in front of him? Like, give the man a break. Just me?
But he knows he's not the first, you know, so.
We already established it wasn't romantic. He spent still, a whole episode on that.
I know, but yeah. It still was like, when he was like, I was like, yeah, dude, like, we've got stuff to do. Can y'all chill for a minute? Like, I don't know. Just me. But any other thoughts on Maeve before we move on to William and his kind of splintered consciousness?
Yeah, so it seemed to me like it wasn't just Hector that they were building, right? They're building four hosts. One of them presumably is Hector and then Maeve. So there should be two other ones.
One is Clementine. One is definitely Clementine because it's the same number.
Okay.
Her ID number that we saw before. I don't have any idea what the fourth one is, though. What do you guys think the fourth one could be?
Well, isn't it another Dolores? Because we see that, like...
Well, there was technically...
Dolores falls asleep.
But that was... I don't think they were building her a body. I think they had just spun her up. So that...
I see.
Because when they showed the screen, they had, like, the four physical ones in red that were printing that had the print completion times. And then they had another side one that just said, like, host unidentified. That was, like, the Connell's pearl is what we assume. Because she'd altered it. So it was, like, the unidentified one is the way that I read it. But any guesses on, I mean, we can save this for predictions if you guys want. But
yeah.
You want to hold off, save it for predictions?
Sure.
More incentive for you guys to watch our whole show. Stick around to the end. We'll let you know our thoughts. Teaser, teaser. Jumping into William's storyline, what did you guys think about this? About kind of his whole overarching thing about having the AR, the augmented reality therapy, that we saw kind of in the flashbacks with Caleb that they then mention, you know, we've used this for PTSD treatment. We kind of know that this is what we're assuming Caleb went through, but this is the first time that we've seen it actually fully used. What did you guys think about the introduction of this AR therapy via William?
It was brutal. I mean, as soon as I saw William in the dentist chair, I was like, oh God, what are they doing?
You would think they would, like, knock him out to put the mouthpiece in. It's like, no, apparently you need to be conscious.
That's what I said, too. I was like, they don't have anesthetic in the future? Like, why? That there's literal... Even his talk therapy, though, was pretty intensive. And his... I'm going to be honest, though, guys. Like, when we first saw the group and him talking about, like, his nihilistic perspective on everything, of like, you're just here to speed up the entropic death of this planet and service chaos. Moody, My Chemical Romance blaring in the background.
Yeah, I wrote down the quote. He said, humanity is a thin layer of bacteria on a ball of mud hurtling through the void.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Then he mentions that they're... he mentions they're maggots, but maggots eat away the dead flesh, so they're not necessarily a bad thing. It's like that scene in Gladiator, used eating the dead flesh.
Carrie, you're like Kierkegaard and Sartre right now. Like, both, like, nihilism, that's fine. But, like,
well, yeah, I mean, lining. Not to get too deep, but he wasn't inherently saying that humanity was a bad thing as much as he was saying that you're looking for meaning in life and then this is the meaning. You're just here to pick apart the planet because that's just the way we are, which goes in line with his whole theme of his storyline of you know, that split decision of, did you make your choices or were all of your choices kind of laid out in front of you? Right. If you're interested in this concept, I recommend watching Devs as well, as it deals a lot with the same concepts, a very heady conceptual show, very in the same line as Westworld. But to get back to, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I almost mentioned Devs last week, because last week there were so many parallels to it. When we were talking. It's
they've
great
been getting
show.
Closer and closer to that same kind of conceptually stuff. But I actually was not crazy about this stuff with William. I guess I thought I really liked William as a character, but I'm not that invested enough to be into this therapy stuff. I think all of it's going to be more relevant when we get more information about Caleb next week, definitely, because I think we're seeing kind of the process that Caleb was put through as well. But I was like, all right, cool. Like, it's cool to see Jimmy Simpson back again and Papa Delos. But I don't know.
It was visually a really cool concept, though, to have the different iterations. And so,
like, the first time I saw it, I was like, whoa. And then when I was rewatching the episode, I was like, nothing really happening right now.
Well, the thing, though, and I want to ask you guys if you thought this same thing, because when they set it up first with the group therapy, and then later the end was him in the group therapy session with himself, I thought that did you guys also catch that Major Craddock, the doctor who came to get him to take him to his therapy session, was
the one Dolores brings back from dead.
Yeah, the one that he had a fight to save Lawrence's family. Like, so it's been him fighting this kind of inner demon throughout. But I thought that it was going to be, oh shit, you thought that you were fighting all these iterations of yourself, but you actually just murdered everybody in your group therapy session.
I was going to wonder that too, of like, yikes, when he woke up at any point, that he had killed everybody in the area, but nope, apparently not.
Yeah, I kind of think that would have been a little bit more interesting. I don't know. I was like, I know that sounds awful, but I was like, because then that's the point of no return, where he's like talking about, like, well, does it matter if you have a choice and does your perspective matter, because all of it leads us to this moment. And I thought it was going to be like, who we were, good or bad in the past, doesn't matter. Even if you're messed up, if you killed all these people, you're irredeemable. And I was like, oh god, they went there. And it was like, no, we didn't go there. Bernard's here. He's gonna
He's a good guy. He's gonna save everyone.
You know what? Is anybody else kind of like, I was semi disappointed when he's like, I'm the good guy. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I was like, no, you're not. You can't say that.
I feel like everyone here, though, thinks they're the good guy. Like, that's the point, is that the bad guy, the villain, like, that's like when you're playing a villain in something, like, the villain never thinks they're the villain. The villain always thinks that what they're doing is a necessary means to an end. So whether it's Maeve, whether it's Dolores, whether it's William, none of them are like, I'm the bad guy. They're all like, I'm either the survivor or the good guy or somebody trying to help. So it is interesting how they're all on such different wavelengths and such different objectives, but all of them, even Hale, we see, thinks that they're doing the right thing, quote unquote.
I have some questions. Okay. Shoot. So in the other episode, right, Connells shows that facility to Bernard. And that's why Bernard ends up going there, right? But that's before he gets sent there. Right. So all of Dolores's plan was for William to get sent to this facility for Bernard eventually to meet him there. But then there's also the thing about the blood tracker. Right.
That's, I didn't get that, because I was like, okay, if Hale is sending him to this facility, she knows that Inner Journeys is the facility she's sending him to. Right. So why does she need a blood tracker to find that facility? Couldn't she just be like, hey, pull up that guy that I sent you?
Right. That's the part I'm confused about.
That, I think, was a red herring they were kind of throwing in with the blood tracker that they then, like, kind of haphazardly kind of justified this episode.
I guess the inference we're not picking up on is that she was having him committed, but she didn't know where he would be sent. But I don't know why Connells would still show him that same facility that he ends up on the tablet. Yeah. I'm just not sure what the blood tracker was for. That's the part that's, and they made the whole point of showing the screen where I had
to know where he is specifically. in a way.
I guess. But
Dolores has that information.
Yeah, and, so that doesn't make sense.
Bernard and Stubbs don't.
Right, because Dolores was already there, or a hologram of herself was there, if it wasn't her. So yeah, first, she knows where it is.
I freaked out at first because when they did the test and then it said like unidentified protein, I was like, oh my god, he's a host!
Me too! I was like, but then they were just like, nope, psych out.
Well, just I kidding. Did read several articles today, one with Ed Harris also, that was saying, is my character a host? I don't know. We don't find out in this episode, but we might in the next one. So
that's just a teaser to be like, keep watching my show. what did you guys think too about this confession where he confesses that he killed Emily to his therapist, but his therapist misses it completely because we're assuming that nobody knows that he has actually murdered Emily, because the guilt that they say is like, there's just the survivor's guilt. This was pretty rough though, because I actually froze on the screen and it said that it was a life projection of loss of medical license, 1 to 2 years, divorce custody, 2.5 years. Did you guys notice how it said restrict her therapy only to Cat U patients, which is what was labeled on Caleb's, which are we assuming that means unfit? Because everything that they list is unfit for reproduction, unfit for whatever.
It's got to be Cat U has to refer to the, what do they call them? What did they call them last episodes? Variables?
The outliers?
Outliers. Yeah. Go team, something like
but
that.
It seems like it would be, but it would be O if it was category sure outlier, you know? It's got to be, I don't know.
So was the idea she gets her information and finds out that like her future is awful, so she decides to kill herself so she doesn't have to.
Her husband sent her a text message and says, I'm taking the kids, don't try to contact us.
That's why her phone was going off. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It also I froze the screen on that too, and it also said like multiple affairs and
with patients.
Opioid addiction.
Oh.
Yeah. So she had a lot going on. The only thing that I don't know. I felt like they should have froze that on the screen.
It went by really fast.
Yeah, like if that's big information, you're putting that much information on the screen, like we got so much time for other things, like give us just a few more seconds so that we don't have to freeze it and rewind. I disagree.
I think they know that there are people watching this show that are interested in that will stop it and watch it.
I stopped and froze a few times in the episode, so to like read even that book title when William is young. I looked that up too to see what that actually was.
And it was like a made-up story that was nothing. And
no, it's it's a nonfiction, but it's Lady Carlisle and the Waters of Maru, I guess. But yeah, it's like
did
a fantasy.
Did you guys notice the book though, when Lang hangs herself, the book that she steps off of is I Was There by Hans Richter, which is the story about the two guys who joined the Nazi youth, which then ties into Maeve's whole storyline. I was like, oh, look at you, prop department. Props for the props.
I mean, I'm sure that there's also some parallels too between their reprogramming program and the idea of the Hitler Youth 2 thing. So it's a deep reference.
Very, very deep. But I did look up the Sir Rowan and the Lady of Ceylon, and I was like, I'm going to read this story. And it was like, we made this up for Westworld. I was like, cool, great.
It said that I looked it up on Random House. It says it's a book.
Is it? Because I looked at it, and it said that it wasn't.
No, I have it right here, $9.99 in paperback, written in 2010. There's like a series of them. Like six books.
But wait, 2010, he wouldn't have been that. Well, I was like, wait, never mind. Thinking the future. I was like, that actor wouldn't have been. Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
good on you, Alice. I was totally wrong. So
it says she's a knight on a mission to aid the help marauders responsible for kidnapping a friend's family.
Oh, like he did for Lawrence with Craddock and then Confederato. Yep. Kind of, that's kind of crazy.
That's why he wanted to live it out. That makes sense.
What did you guys think about this, about the flashback where it's like he basically rewrote his own story mentally? Like he was saying, because we had been taught, even when he was talking about his past with Dolores, he was like, well, I was always a shy kid who just stayed at home and read my books. And then we find out that he's always been violent. And he's like, maybe it was the game that made me violent. And it's like, no, this has always been a part of you. How did you guys react to that? Because I wasn't quite sure how to feel about it.
When that happened, I immediately honestly thought that it wasn't him, it was his brother, because we know that his brother was super violent too. So I was like, oh, is that him or is that his brother? Was kind of my first thought, which obviously it was him. But I mean, we know that his brother was super violent too. So it makes sense that it was something in their upbringing. But for him to never realize that that it was his upbringing that made him that way is kind of strange, I guess.
Well, or it is that way of he, you know, has an alcoholic, probably abusive father, and he doesn't know that behavior necessarily to be wrong. And then he just is the cycle and does it himself and thinks when he beat up that other kid that he was justified in it. So he doesn't see it as a wrong thing to do. And so that's probably why in his memory. And then we also have Serac at another point saying, you know, human memory fades and we forget things. So it could be that as well, that maybe in the moment it was a big deal, but as he grew older, it forgot about it.
It's interesting that we see the theme of violence too, like even the echoing of like these violent delights have violent ends, you know, when they're saying, it's like, as you're so fond of saying, Dolores, kind of talking about where this stems from. I did think it was really interesting too, though. Did you guys pick up when he's having this conversation with Delos and Delos is saying, you know, were you just a passenger? Did your life really happen to you or did you choose it? And he's like, if you can't tell, does it matter? This was very, very similar to the conversation that Bernard has with his subconscious Ford in the finale of season 2, when he's talking and he's like, is there really such a thing as free will? Ford says that, you know, the hosts are just passengers. They think they're in control, but the whole time they've been passengers. What did you guys think of kind of this echoing back and the idea of hosts and humans and what is your humanity kind of based on these intrinsic values versus your choices?
I think it reverberates.
Oh, go ahead, Carrie.
I think it goes even bigger though, because then it goes into Charlotte and her husband's plot line of him not wanting to read his file because are they the choices we make or is this some machine telling us? So I think it's a very common theme throughout of the, are you active in your choices? Are you going to let the idea that something is dictating it? Are you just going to be a passenger and be like, yes, this happened to me, rather than be an active force in your own life?
Yeah, and this is also the same conversation that Dolores had with William when he was first put into the psychiatric hospital. So it's interesting that it's like she said it a couple episodes ago, and now it's actually playing out and he's asking himself the same question. But I think it's also all the hosts, all the Charlottes that are still alive, and even the ones that have died, you know, ask themselves that same question, you know, because they were fighting with the Dolores and also the person that they were inside. So I think it's something that we all ask ourselves anyways, even in this world, not Westworld.
Now, kind of talk on that, do you guys want to just dive into Hale's storyline too? Because this was kind of the big storyline. Any last words on William before we move on to Hale?
It was really funny to see Stubbs and Bernard essentially rescue him. That was almost comedic, and him going, wait, why are you here?
I'm interested to see how long he's actually been there when his initial prognosis said that he should just be in a therapy for 3 months. And then we know that he's been kind of abandoned there. So
he had no facial hair growth. So I assumed it wasn't that long, because I was like, it's not like he had stubble or his hair was crazy, which is generally the indication a character's been somewhere for a long time.
So but just I think Stubbs, no stubble.
Probably as long as the information has been out, so maybe let's say 24 hours to 72 hours.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I do want to mention too that the doctor does talk about how this is the same treatment that they use for PTSD for like war vets. So again, another big clue that all of this stuff is going to be really relevant for Caleb.
Yeah, it seems like this has kind of been the whole thing with Caleb too. It's like, are you going to be a passenger in your own life or take control? Which we see Hale take control, and man, it is a hail storm in this episode. Like, damn. What did you guys think of kind of overall this whole, not that pun, sorry, Nate, but of kind of Hale's whole overall storyline? And even the little Easter eggs that we see of like somebody spray painting the maze on the wall. I didn't quite understand that, because we saw that before kind of spray painted as well. And I didn't know how that related to this world. But what did you guys think of this whole idea that the fake Hale is more human than the human Hale she was based off of? Carrie, because you were kind of touching on this before.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting and almost makes sense in terms of she is new to this life and knows that this is part of her like core and entity. And as we kind of had discussed on a previous episode, the body has memory. I think it could be an association with her husband and her child, of a connection there. Like, she doesn't quite understand it, but knows there's a bond. And I think also for her, they haven't abandoned her the way Dolores keeps thrusting her into situations and been like, all right, bye. And so there's something that's a little more constant for her. And I like that that is a sad like reveal that she's not really her, because she cares more about that family and then ultimately loses them, which I think is going to push her to be like, what I've said before, that she's going to probably be the one who rebels. And she did, in a way, by her running away. That was a rebellion.
Yeah.
But there'll be more.
Not to add another horrible pun to the mix, Nate, but I think this literally lit a fire under her ass that she's going to be like, all right, I'm coming for you. Like, that's the last straw. What did you guys think kind of this whole overall cat and mouse game that she had with Ciroc of, is she the host? Is he not? Like, he's been watching her this whole time, and then her with the gas and everything, but ultimately he slips away. I mean, this was a little frustrating to me, honestly. What did you think, Nate?
I mean, like I said earlier, I did enjoy the kind of chess game elements of it, of her, you know, having one move, and then he's like, well, actually, I knew the whole time. And then she was like, well, actually, I have a smoke bomb. And he's like, well, actually, I'm not even here. I was like, all right, that's pretty clever writing. I just love Tessa Thompson. That jacket, cape, blazer thing.
Oh, the elephant.
Yes, we got Nate talking about fashion today.
I knew I was gonna get laughed for this.
I wonder,
man, that coat. Woo! Oh man, but she is so hot too.
I wonder if she called her Avengers co-star Chris Evans and was like, "Did you see my elevator fight, bro? Like, I had a cape in mine. Like,
just pure Terminator action." Mowing people down, like, oh, it was so good.
And then Nate, you like the part the jacket comes off, we get to see the sparkly top and see those guns, and she's like fighting. Oh, I was like, yes, she's so cool.
Yes, so much. Yes. That being said, though, the one issue I did have, I'm just not 100% buying the turn, the caring for the child, going back to the house, you know, ending up and getting them killed. Like, I get it conceptually. I understand that they've been building towards it, of her having this kind of crisis of who she is being in this body. But especially seeing Connell's and Connell's, you know, what's the word?
Association.
The way that he speaks to Maeve and the confidence, to me, like, it's like, I understand it's different and she's changed a little bit because she's in Hale's body, but it's still Dolores. Like, it's still, she still knows the plan. She still knows that, like, it's bigger than just her and like this human family. It's like all of her host family and their future and all this stuff that stands in the balance. So I just don't completely buy the turn. I'm hoping that her crawling out at the end is, instead of going to lead her against Dolores, I'm hoping that's going to lead her further into Dolores, of like, you were right, I fucked up by trying to care for these humans and I put everyone at risk, and now that I'm crispy and going to be in a new body, I don't think she's going to turn on Dolores. I think they're going to stay teamed up together.
I did like, though, that's a really good point that you bring up, Nate, like the difference between Connell's and Charlotte, because that was bothering me in the episode where she was, you know, clawing at herself. And I was like, well, why is Connell's not having this problem? I like that she calls Dolores and has the conversation where she's like, why did we have to keep these human emotions? Why didn't we turn those off? Because Connell's, because of the nature of his job, seems like he's less emotional. He doesn't have all of those family ties. Like, he was always almost a programmed robot because his whole life was just serving Liam and keeping Liam from, you know, screwing himself over. So it makes more sense that he would be able to be more in control of those emotions, whereas Hale is having some more problems with it. I like that it kind of echoes to the whole conversation that she had with Teddy when she had changed Teddy's programming and had altered him. And he had kind of the same conversation of like, well, does it even matter if we win or lose? If you've changed me, then I'm not even me anymore. It doesn't matter. And we see that Dolores has actually taken that to heart and is incorporating these emotions and refuses to turn them off because last time it cost her love. So I do like that was echoed, but it did seem a bit rushed just because they spent so much time on the fight sequences. Not that I'm complaining, riot bots, like kick ass. I like that, but
giant robots.
Well, yeah, also, I mean, Charlotte was like the least emotional character. I mean, other than her ending video when she is about to die. I mean, throughout all the seasons, she's always been like not really cared about anything other than work. So to believe that she has these like strong emotions inside her somewhere that are going to, that have now eroded into Dolores is a little bit hard to believe. Like, I think it's almost easier to believe that Dolores being like the most emotional host, really in all the seasons to be doing what she's doing. I think it's more like Dolores's emotions are trickling into Charlotte rather than the other way around.
Yeah, it's definitely the second one. It's Dolores's emotions compounded with actually having, you know, that maternal instinct kick in because there's actually a child around, as well as her, you know, it mirrors her like in the first episode, she's kind of the mother of this new generation of hosts of mm-hmm. that are sentient. Mm-hmm. So in that mother same of kind dragons. Of way, no,
sorry, I had to do it.
No,
we already had that episode. We saw D&D. We saw the dragon.
Can't get away from it.
And she survived through the fire too. So you know.
Game of Thrones, the one where we all ended how Charlotte Hale ended this episode, just feeling like we were totally burned. sorry, tangent. But yeah, I did like too that they kind of echoed some sentiments through Charlotte's storyline, even with the killing of Brompton, when she's like, you just killed a board member in public. And he's like, well, one advantage of Dolores's data leak is that the chaos that comes with it, it's easier, you know, I can use that chaos to my advantage, because that's been kind of a running theme too of, can you create order from chaos and can you use this chaos to your advantage? And what is order to begin with? So it's a lot of philosophical questions that aren't too heavy handed. So I liked that. And I liked that they did kind of break it up with some just, you know, I don't want to say mindless entertainment, but some situations are like, now watch this cool fight scene. Okay, back to it.
Yeah, you got to keep the momentum going when you're when you're doing a lot of heady, thinky stuff.
But overall thoughts kind of on Charlotte before we lead into our predictions here. Did you guys like how that storyline wrapped up with her ultimately trying to flee with her kid and then...
My one question is, they're told to capture her alive in the facility, and then as soon as they leave, she's getting car bombed.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
Because maybe they decided, fine, we don't need her anymore, of something, and yeah.
Actually, you know what I bet it was, now that I'm thinking about it? If they kill the whole family, if they kill both Jake and Nathan as well, then there's nobody to report, because otherwise they would have to explain away why she was gone, or if she came back to them. Doesn't that kind of fall into the chaos thing? Yeah, but I feel like if it's like, okay, she could reveal that she's a host to these two humans, and then everything would be even more chaotic. Before she reveals this information, we should stop all of them. You know, like, it was kind of like a Hail Mary. They wanted to take her alive, but if they can't, then kill off the other two people that she could have confided that this technology exists to recreate.
I mean, or maybe it was Dolores that was behind the car bombing.
I kind of wondered that, actually. Like, she felt that that was a betrayal, and so she killed her.
But what about the guy with the earpiece?
Yeah, I thought that at first, but once... I thought that might be the case at first. Once we saw the guy with the earpiece, it looked pretty Ciroc to me. Also, too, like, speaking of why this happened, it feels very much like adding more fuel to the fire of Ciroc is the villain in this show. If you're unclear, because there is a lot of gray area in these characters, he's the bad guy. He killed a child in a car bombing. It's pretty solid bad guy as far as everybody else goes in the show.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of, you know, when you talk about the irredeemable thing, if you blow up an innocent child.
We had three characters in this episode say that they were not the villain. So,
but then it's also this idea of, okay, well, are there really truly villains, or is this, I don't know, because even Ciroc in his misguided self thinks that he's doing the right thing. So, well, it's all crazy. Any last thoughts on the whole episode before we wrap up with some predictions here?
No, I think it was very well cooked, very well done. Sorry, I want to try overcooked. To get one in there too. It's extra crispy. No, it's a solid episode. We'll see where the next two are going.
Cool. Do you guys
go ahead. Prediction.
Go ahead, Alice. No, go ahead.
No, I want to get back to Caleb's story and also see what Bernard and Ashley and Dolores were up to while this was going on.
Well, then let's dive into some predictions. What do you guys say?
Yeah.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
So, hard to believe there are only two episodes left this season. We have next week, and then the following week, and then that's it. So, a little teaser that we got for the next week on, we know we're going to be seeing more of Caleb and Dolores, but it didn't really tell us any information other than, don't worry, those two characters that you didn't see this episode, you'll see them next episode. What do you guys predict is going to happen with them, and also how it ties in with where Hale is now? Carrie?
I like Nate's theory on Hale, but I think Hale, Charlotte's going to go against Dolores. I think this is going to push her. But then again, I guess I'm torn. If she figures out it is Ciroc who did that to her, that she'd be like, all right, fine, Dolores, I'm on your team. We got to get rid of this guy. And I'm really curious to see if Caleb gets the real truth about Dolores. I mean, he knows like a little bit, but if he got more information, would he throw away essentially humanity as he knows it and fully commit with her? Or is he gonna step back and not let her finish her plans?
What do you think, Alice?
Yeah, I agree with Carrie on that. That Hale is probably going to go against Dolores, but I also think that the new recreation of Maeve is probably another Dolores, and that they're going to trick other hosts and other people into believing that that's Maeve, so that Maeve and real Maeve really has nobody to be on her team, which was really what they kept echoing in this episode about, I need help, but then at every turn where she could get help, it eroded into not having anyone to help her. So we'll see.
So you think that even though Maeve has been printed in this new body, that they're going to print another Maeve body that'll have Dolores in her?
I think that that new Maeve body was actually a Dolores Maeve.
How could that be? Wow. Because Ciroc printed it.
Oh, it was Ciroc? I thought that was at Delos.
It was at Delos, but it's because
Ciroc printed Delos. It.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was his trade-off with Maeve, to basically get Maeve to, to get Maeve to betray all of her people. But yeah, what do you think, Nate?
I don't know. There's so many possibilities. I think, especially after the conversation this week, I think there's so much. I think Maeve is actually not going to end up going against Dolores. I think Hail Dolores is going to go against regular Dolores, but it's actually going to be a part of regular Dolores' plan for her to go against her, if that makes sense. Also, in the teaser trailers before, we had seen clips of Dolores being like rebuilt. So I think that we're going to see Dolores rebuilt, but it's going to be Hail Dolores, and she's the one with the torn up body. So more people impersonating people shenanigans. There's so much. I don't know what's going to be revealed with Caleb, but it's going to be a lot next week. It's going to be like the linchpin of the season. It's going to tie all the William stuff together. I'm just really excited. The pace has been insane. Like, they've done so good of laying things out and keeping things moving, but still having so many mysteries and like really like overall, like, what is this season about? We still don't even really know. I like that. It's really well done.
I like it a lot. I think that there may be a possibility, because Maeve has such strong ties to her daughter, even though people keep saying it's not really your daughter, and Hale has such strong ties to her son, even though they keep saying it's not really your son. I could see the two of them potentially teaming up and saying, you have to have the humanity aspect. You have to have the care for other people that Dolores is lacking, because the only help she could have was herself. And I think Caleb might actually... Carrie, you mentioned if he finds out more about Dolores, may feel differently. I think once he finds out more about humanity and finds out what they've done to him, he may feel like, you know, I think I'm with these bots. Like, but yeah, bot or not.
Yeah. I think all of those clues about Hale's son and his name being Charlie, and now he's dead, and all that we know about hosts and suffering, which leads to consciousness, and just like how Arnold had his son die, now we have Hale's son dying, and now we have Bernard who's going to be there in the end, and Shaloris who's going to be there in the end, and they're both kind of now kind of humans with these experiences. It's going to be some weird meta stuff going on in the end.
It's definitely going to be intense, and we want to talk about all of it with you guys next week as well. But in the meantime, where can everybody keep up with you guys? Alice?
You guys can keep up with me on Twitter at Alice L. Ford, or on Instagram at Alice's Adventures on Earth.
And where can we find you, Nate Miller?
Guys, you can find me everywhere at Dog Like Nate.
And where can we find you, Miss Carrie Lane?
Yes, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan. That's A-L-A-N-A-J-O-R-D-A-N. And on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you guys can find us all here next week for the penultimate episode of Westworld Season 3. Woo! We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.